Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome you again to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the wisdom and knowledge of God. Let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, mercy, and grace, forgiveness of our sins as we come boldly to the throne of prayer to thank you, Father God, for waking us up this morning, letting us know who we are, being there for us, Father God, in times of need, giving us the strength, Father God, to go forward in this day. No matter what the challenges may be, Father God, we know that we can always come to you. For Father God, you said you never leave us or forsake us. You will always be there to help us, protect us, guide us, and teach us what we need to know to deal with life and all the challenges may bring. As long as we continue to fight the good fight of faith, Father God, we know that we can come to you boldly, because your word said, Father God, we can't please you unless we come in faith. So we're coming in faith to claim the authority of your power, your word, as we go forward today. I ask you, Father God, to be as the one delivering today, to let, Father God, me decrease and you increase. Let the words that I share, Father God, be something that will help someone to move their lives, Father God, in a faith-filled way that they can have victory each moment of their lives, as well as our own. So we praise and honor you, Father God, as we go forward. We glorify and magnify your name, and we say thank you, hallelujah, praise you, Father God, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, welcome to the Spirit of a Soldier. Well, we're going to have a really good time because we're going to talk about the power of prayer. And we're going to talk about the tools we use so we don't lose the fight, in the fight of the good fight of faith. For the word says in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, which means basically to be repetitive, to on a continuation, to continue to go in prayer when you go forward before God, to ask and make requests of him, as well as to praise him and glorify him for all that he's done for you. For there's a lot of power in prayer. And we want to keep moving forward in that. For today's quote is, God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your struggles, and a gift for your faithfulness. So we shouldn't be alone. The scripture says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplication, all saints. As I mentioned, what are the tools we use so we don't lose in the fight of faith? The first one, and I got seven here, is prayer. The second is the Holy Spirit. The third is God's armor. The fourth is God's guardian angels. The fifth is walking in that faith. Sixth is maintaining that hope. And seven, doing it all in love. In dealing with life situations, it can be truly challenging, and it can be a test of our wills. But we sometimes get discouraged because we don't see the outward manifestation of God's power within an expedient time frame. We begin to question whether God is real. Is he listening? Does he really exist? Or does he even really care? Or are we even worthy of God's blessings? However, I have found that with any of these perspectives, with these questions we ask, God is not the issue, but our own formulated viewpoints, our knowledge, and our understanding of God himself, who he is, who he has been, and continue to be in our lives. I have noticed that we are all trying to make sense of this thing we call the journey in order to find our purpose, our cause, and our meaning, thus taking different approaches in handling and resolving life's ongoing circumstances and situations. The unfortunate part of our efforts is that sometimes the solution doesn't always meet our perceived expectation that we place on God and ourselves. As a part of these expectations, we have come to believe that certain things should happen, but when it doesn't happen, we get frustrated. And I think this is based on how we've been conditioned through society, our carnal way of seeing the world, or the worldly views, which also is limited by our own limitations. These limitations come from us trusting our own abilities and not God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, to guide us towards the plan he had already set in place for our lives. For in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, "For I know the plan I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God had already set in place that he was going to place something in our future that would be a prosperity, or if you will, something that would be beneficial to us. God had already planned that he wanted us to do great works, but Jesus said we would do greater works. God had already planned that we could walk in health and prosperity and peace and joy within ourselves. We could walk in the fruits of the Spirit. God had already planned that. But as I mentioned earlier, we get conditioned by the world's way of seeing or society's way of seeing things, and we become to develop those habits of thinking a certain way. I remember a motivational speaker by the name of Zig Ziglar always say, we need to get rid of that stinking thinking. But that's hard once you get into a pattern, because we're creatures of habit. But if we seek God's way of doing things, we develop his type of methods, then we bypass a lot of those negative habits that we have formulated. And some of us have got, like myself, over 60-some years of bad habits we've picked up. But the good thing, as I mentioned last week, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can change those habits. I like to say that, however, I believe that we're not totally at fault, because we were created in God's image, and we have his creative nature, thus innately driven to be a problem solver. And a lot of times we just want to take off and do our thing. We got our own plans, our own ideals, our own ambitions, and we take off. Because God gave us a nature of creativity. He is the creator, but we reform, reshape, redevelop that which he's already created. So that means that we're problem solvers, but sometimes it can get us in trouble. This wouldn't be such a bad thing, but if we saw God's method first, we probably would get a better result. However, in our human nature would have it, we're more prone to act before we seek God's kingdom and all his righteousness, therefore producing our limited outcome. This is where prayer comes into play, because we start to get God's idea. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without cease. Again, I'll give you an example of this when Jesus talked about prayer. So Jesus, in Luke's version of God's word, Jesus is teaching his disciple about prayer. So in the interim, in Luke 11:2-4, Luke gives a different version than Matthew. He says in the interim of his opening, he says, Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us of our sins, for we are ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us the time of trial. See, Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer appears to be a bit simpler because it's shorter version of Matthew's version. However, we understand that prayer is not simple. And Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer is not something we should take lightly, but it shows a view of intimate, practical, and thought-provoking way of approaching prayer. However, I want to focus on Jesus' parable when he talked about the power of prayer due to persistency. Again, cease not in our prayers. In Luke 11:5-13, it goes on to say, and he says to them, which of you shall have a friend and to go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come on his journey. I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many seek as he needs. Therefore, he says, so I say to you, ask, and we give it to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who not, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any of his father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for the fish, will you give him a serpent instead of the fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? And if then, being evil, know how to give a gift to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So What we can see is persistence and boldness in prayer overcomes the insensitivity and lack of caring of not God. To practice persistently accomplishes more in change of our hearts and the mind than his. It helps us to understand and express the intensity of our needs. Persistence in prayer helps us to recognize God's work. What is the importance of prayer? Prayer allows us to have an intentional communication with God. That means we are focused, we are centered, we are taking the time, we are building our intimate relationship to get to know him. It's like dating. In order to really get to know someone, you got to spend that time with someone. And usually in most cases, when we both kind of infatuated, if it's, you know, a relationship type building with a couple, what have you, then we would spend that quality time. We would listen with more intensity. We would exchange ideals. We would be more in tune to what they're presenting to us. We would go in with the right heart motive. We would have a focused ideal about how we want to approach this relationship because we want the end results to be good. This is how we have to go in with God. It is developing that ongoing relationship with God that helps us to really understand the power of prayer. Because the more time we spend, the more we develop that heart connection. And since God judges the heart, he would look inside of our heart and see more of what our true intent is, even though he already knows this. But it's more for us than it is for him. It's like a father and a son. If the son spends time with his father, he's probably more prone to be, his father will be more giving to him because he's getting to know his son. Something my mother used to always say, because of my family's pretty large, and she would always say, I love each of you all the same, but I love you differently because each of you requires something different. So I have to spend time with you in order to get to know you because you change over the course of time. And I know this is a fact because I'm reminded of a story of a friend that I met at a conference, and she told the story of that she had been married 3 times. And she talked about the first husband that she had. He was young and strong and vibrant and idealistic and wanted to do everything and change the world. And they spent quality time trying to do that. But the next husband she met, he was a little more solid, a little more reserved, a little more calculated about how he wanted to plan the future. And they spent time doing that. And then the third husband she met, she was involved with, he was a little more reserved because he was older, a little more centralized, and basically planning for his transition, not to die, but to prepare himself in all ways so that when transition time came, everybody was covered, as well as he had built a solid relationship, and they got to know him even more. When asked the question, why did she marry 3 times, she said she didn't. That was the same man. He just changed 3 times through the course of their life marriage. And that's what happens. We change over the course of time. So we have to continue to stay in prayer with God, stay in that communication with God, stay in that line of listening to God so he can show us how much he knows us and we can show how much we're going to know him. And as we grow to know him, we get to know his power. We get to know what he's all about. We get to know how his word really affects others and how it can affect our lives in the positive way that he intended for it to be. Because again, he intended for us to prosper, and not just the prosperity that the world speaks about with money, fame, recognition, but know the prosperity of really walking in that peace and that joy and that goodness and kindness that we should try to walk in every day. But we miss that because that's not usually the foundation we get when we're growing up in society. They entertain more of the external, but God is more concerned about the internal. And I always like to say we should not allow external factors to control our internal stability, but sometimes that becomes very difficult. So we can see how people sometimes can miss it. But just as we grow close to people with whom we spend quality time with, we grow closer to God, spending time with him in persistent prayer, where we continue to do what we need to do to interact with him and share with him and develop with him. We continue to grow in thanksgiving. We praise him. We glorify him. We can seek his wisdom in prayer. We can make our petition. We can meditate on his word. We become listening more. We begin to listen more to his commands. Now, Jesus embodied this supplication. He prayed by the streams, in the deserts, on the mountain, in the garden. He prayed everywhere, which proved that we didn't have to just pray just in a building, but we could pray outside. I'm an outside prayer. I kind of like to look at it as if I'm in the wilderness. I'm separated from the world. It's just me and nature. So even though my mind may drift sometimes, I'm still centered because I don't have the TV to distract me. I don't have people to distract me. It's just me and God 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So therefore, I can really get in tune. So I kind of visualize myself in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed in solitude, which means that we should pray in times where we're absolutely alone. He prayed in the synagogue. He prayed in the temples, which means we can go to church every week and pray with other people. He prayed with the scriptures, so we should read the scriptures, the Bible. He sang songs. So we should sing those hymns, that sacred music that makes it a test. David was a writer of that music. David was a lover of writing music and singing unto God. He chatted with God often. Jesus and God were like best friends. Jesus prayed at every crucial point in his life, which means we should pray especially harder in times of need and major decisions or transition. Jesus prayed when he was a kid. So even if you're young, we should get out there in prayers. I think I told the story about when I learned about prayer, even about God at the age of 15, and what impact it had on me that still stays with me today. So even praying at an earlier age prepares us. Imagine if we had started doing this at the age of 5 or 6. For some of us, some people were fortunate. They had parents who were pastors or what have you, and they started it. And I can see the difference because my initial pastor, who's now a bishop, I saw his 5-year-old son and what he is today at his 40s and how dynamic he is. That doesn't mean he's exempt from sin. But it doesn't mean that he's better equipped to take on the warfare that may come up. Whereas some of us have to go through the trials and tribulations, the heartaches, the pains, the ups and downs, the letdowns, before we really get to realize that, I'm talking to the wrong one. I should be talking to the Creator, not the ones that's trying to imitate. That's what we should do. But Jesus did that. He prayed from the cross. So we should be people who are nonstop in prayer, no matter what it is, through the rest of our life to our final breath. And Paul said in Colossians 4:2, he says, preserve in prayer. In fact, he believed that we should pray without cease, as I said earlier. I got this from a sister named Rosalind Tompkins, who I thought was very good when she talked about the 7 forms of prayer. She talked about communion. Well, we pray all day, all the time. Now, I realize that we wouldn't be doing this 24/7, but we're consistent. As I said, without cease, we're consistently praying to God. And then with supplication, lifting up our knees to God. See, I believe that God wants us to depend on him. And as I said earlier, because we have his nature, sometimes we have the tendency to say, well, I'll do it myself. And in most cases, we usually get our outcome. And sometimes that works, and sometimes it creates an illusion. It's like going to the casino, and you look up, and you win that first hand, but that's an illusion, because if you keep going back, they're going to take it back, because it's the world's way. But God don't take back. God just continues to give. We know that because he gave his only begotten son. So we can go in, and we can go to supplication and lift up our knees to God. There's prayer and intercession. On the behalf of others, we should always be praying for others. See, I believe that if I'm really a real advocate about giving, because I believe if I wake up saying that I'm going to give to the world and the world woke up and said they're going to give to me, we only have room for receiving. We don't have a giver or a taker. We don't have tug of war. We just have that heart of giving. And Jesus was like that because I didn't come to take from the world. I didn't come to be served from the world. I come to serve. And in our Army values, we talk about that. Selfless service. That was one of my favorite Army values. Giving of oneself. But sometimes even than that, we have to be wise stewards. I've learned through the course of my life, just because people have matured, I've learned not to look at people as being malicious or they're just takers or mean. Sometimes they just don't know. Because the word says that my people destroy because of lack of knowledge. Sometimes people don't know how to give. And when they think that they're giving, they always have the mindset of the world, as I said earlier about how they condition us, to think that if I give something, I need to get something back. But my granddaddy used to always say, you just throw the seeds out there, because you may not get it from where you plant it, but somewhere you're going to get it. God is going to provide. So we have to learn to be as God so loved. He says he loves to your forgiveness. Then there's the prayer about spiritual warfare. And there are two types, dealing with ourselves. The mind is the battlefield. And I think Joyce Myers wrote a book about that. I never read it, but I've seen the title in different bookstores. And it's true. Satan goes to hang out in our head. I was talking to someone the other day, and they talked about not letting people rent space in your head. Well, that's true. Satan likes to hang out there. He likes to plant the thoughts. And if he plants the thought and we give any way to it emotionally or visually or what have you, usually we act on it. And sometimes it's not conducive to our lives, which puts us in a position where we have to repent and ask for forgiveness. But if we keep our mind set on those things that are just and pure and lined up with God's word, we usually don't have to fall into the line of least shame or guilt. We may have still fallen short, but we don't consciously act on it. And that's very difficult sometimes. As much as I like to believe that all human beings can be strong in this area, we all have some weight that holds us down and prevents us from being as effective as we like to be. But again, if we pray without cease, we become more effective. It's like going to the gym. If you're trying to build a muscle, the first time you go in there, you're probably not going to lift 225. But if you consistently go in there, you consistently do it. Now, you don't break it down. Say if you went three times a week, you would be stronger in 6 months than you were in the day you walked in. Imagine if we spent just three times a week in constant prayer, consistent prayer, communicating with God, sharing with God our thoughts, our dreams, our hopes, our ambitions, our frustrations, our abilities, all those things that weigh on the human heart. God would be able to strengthen us, build that spiritual muscle. And as you build that spiritual muscle, we become stronger. As we become stronger, we become the Samsons. We become the Samsons that even when we miss the mark, God will still strengthen us in those times that we want to get the victory, or he wants us to have the victory. Then there's prayer and agreement, corporate prayer, as we come together around the world. When I pray, I always say, oh, Lord, I'm lining up with the people around the world who are praying right at this moment. Because as I'm speaking right now, somebody is praying. And if they're praying, I'm pulling in all their strength. I know it's a visual, but it's my faith. This is how I operate. So I believe that I'm lining up with their prayer. So as I line up with their prayer, I believe that I'm tapping into their strength. As I'm tapping into their strength, they're tapping into God's power, and they're tapping into God's power. We got more power to push things away from us that are not conducive to our lives. We become lined up, but we have to exercise that faith. We have to exercise that belief. So when we unite, he said, when two or more touch agree, he's in the midst of it. So if we got hundreds of thousands of people praying on the same subject, even though we don't know them, what power we have. We can stop the things that we see that we think are so hurtful in the world. Because, again, I see people when they fall short in some of these grand, horrific things that happen. Even for me being a soldier, being placed in a position that instead of being able to just go and communicate at the table, we have to communicate in a negative way on the warfare. But if we came together in prayer in that battlefield where God is at, we would always come out victorious. Then she talks about prayer as being watchful in prayer, continued state of awareness as a watchman on the wall, always looking, lining up for our prayer. Billy Graham talks about building that prayer journal. We stay mindful. So as we get victory through one prayer, we write it down. And we're staying watchful for the next prayer to come to pass, the next answer to the prayer to come to pass. We continue to stay mindful to the power of God. And as people see that we're being victorious and we're receiving God's best, that helps to build some people who have not spiritually grown, matured in that area. And that's how I see all of us. We're all at a different level of maturity. So we have no room to judge. As I like to say, I don't judge to criticize, I judge to understand. I need to understand where people are at because we're all in different places and different parts in our life, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. So we all need to understand that everybody's in a different place. But if we stay watchful and we stay focused in our prayer and we continue to work together with others, we can help others be able to feel more victorious in their struggles because they've seen us be victorious. So it's important to do that. And then there's prayer of thanksgiving, counting our blessings, naming them one by one. When we wake up in the morning, I know there's the classic, oh, it's Monday morning, or I'm glad the week is over. Oh, the eagle flies on Friday. We got all these sayings. But we should be just waking up every day for the day. The day is, the time factor is for us. Time is kind of not really non-existent, but it's for us to measure. But if we're going to measure something, maybe not so much today, but measure the goodness that is given in the day. I'm thankful every day that I wake up. And I know there's going to come a time when transition time is going to come. That's still going to be glorious, too, because absent from the body, present with the Lord. So I ain't got to worry about that day. I do plan to live to be 100 years old. That's my goal. That's what I've been praying since I was a kid. So I'm going to stand on that. But in the meantime, I'm going to be thankful for every day I get. I wake up. Unfortunately, right now, I wake up in pain. I had to go to urgent care today. But when I went out to pray, I was in so much pain that was so excruciating. I said, Lord, you know I got to keep doing this walk. You know I got to be able to walk and talk with you. So I need to keep moving forward. And I usually walk about 3 to 5 miles. I didn't walk the 4 or 5 miles, but I did my walk and I did my prayer. And it eased the pain up. And then the Holy Spirit told me, okay, I want you to go to urgent care. Go in there and let man, this is what I believe, man is just the guy that puts the Band-Aid on. God does the healing. But sometimes you need the Band-Aid just to stop the bleeding to get you through the moment. So I went there and did that. And so I don't trust man necessarily in the sense of he having the power through the medication that God taught him how to put together. I have the belief that God works through the medication, through man, as he does his healing, whether he does it rapidly, in the speed of the blink of an eye, or he does it over time, because healing doesn't always come there. But nothing wavers my faith, because all comes from God. So in all these 7 areas of prayer, these are some of the tools that we will use to be victorious in our battle through this life. So I like to share that it's important that prayer be a part of our life. And we understand it comes in different forms. And we understand that the more we recognize the power of prayer, the more we use prayer, the more we start to really get the power from prayer. So I want to share a few scriptures with you that I think is important. But before I do that, let me give you 7 people who were challenged or faced with challenges and they went to pray. Hannah, she was infertile and she prayed desperately for a son. Peter was in prison for preaching the gospel. The church prayed for his release. The Jerusalem was under siege and so Ezekiel prayed to save his people. Jairus asked Jesus to heal his daughter so she wouldn't die. Moses asked God to see him. Ezekiel prayed because God tells him he is about to die. And in each of these prayers, change came about. So when we go into prayer, we need to always go as Matthew would say in 6:33-34. But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow worries will be worries about his own thing. Sufficient for the day is his own troubles. And my pastor, she was amazing because she talked about tomorrow's troubles. Don't entertain tomorrow's troubles, but deal with today because it has its own. But we don't have to be preoccupied with the trouble because the trouble is not bigger than our God's power. That's what we need to center on. And again, this is a mindset. This is a renewing of the mind. This is a fleshing of the mind. So we need to continue to do that. And in Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good will, his good pleasure. So as God works within us, he's producing the outcome that he wants to see manifested. And we just need to continue to seek him in prayer. And in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which we cannot utter. The Holy Spirit is there, and I'm going to talk about that in the next session as we go forward. We're going to talk about that. And in Galatians 5:16, it says, I said then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in Philippians 1:6, be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And with that being said, let us continue to walk in by faith and not by sight. Let us continue to trust God. Let us continue to grow and depend on God. Let us not waver in our focus of prayer, because prayer does change things. Prayer can make everything fall into place. Maybe not in line with our personal wants and desires in every aspect of it, but it surely, if we stay in line with God's word, we will get God's best. So next week, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and God's armor until we finish the seven tools that we need to use to be victorious in God's battle of fighting the good fight of faith. I thank you for listening. Surely you know I'm praying for the world, the country, the states, the cities, communities, neighborhoods, family, and individuals, that victory shall be yours. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week.